Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Traditionally, financial planning advice is either only for those who are already wealthy or salespeople calling themselves financial advisors who say they'll give you free financial advice but really just sell products to earn commissions. Fearless Finance takes a dramatic departure from either of those traditional models. Their entire business is built on making financial advice accessible and affordable because we know that financial literacy, stress reduction, and financial security are critical to overall well-being. I'm a little bit obsessed with Elizabeth, our Fearless Finance advisor. I've had an array of advisors in the past who answered questions like, should we be spending less on this, with evasive answers like, it depends on your priorities. Not Elizabeth. She answers with actually helpful guidelines. You're spending more than the average family of five, or I'd like to see this increase by 6%. Thank you. This is Fearless Finance's mission, to make advice affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually and they charge you by the hour. You only pay for the time you use down to a quarter hour. Their planners meet with you where you are on your financial journey, no judgment. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code PANTSUIT. That's fearlessfinance.com and use code PANTSUIT for $50 off your first planning meeting. You know how you learn to really appreciate how good your products are? Leave town and get stuck with whatever shampoo is in the hotel. I take Pros and their custom hair products for granted, y'all. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. I never found beauty products that really understood my needs, but ever since I switched to custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I've noticed so many benefits. My thin hair is moisturized but not weighed down, and my waves have never looked better. And Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pantsuit. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pantsuit. That's PROSE.com/pantsuit. Welcome to another episode of Pantsuit Politics. I am Sarah from the left, and today I am here with Annie B. Jones, owner of The Bookshelf in Thomasville, Georgia, and co-host of the podcast From the Front Porch, where you say you talk about books, the South, and small business, right, Annie?
That's right.
I love those. I love those three topics. They are three of my favorite topics as well. So I've been on Annie's show talking about the politics of being Southern, which was fantastic. And now Annie is here to talk about fiction, politics, and how it can help you build empathy and therefore be more nuanced. I'm so excited about this topic, Annie.
I am so excited too, because I have so many people in my life who only read nonfiction, and they kind of turn their noses up a little bit at fiction, and I think that's so sad, so I'm excited.
Well, and look, it doesn't have to be just you and I spouting off our opinions. There's like some good science about how important it is to read fiction, to put yourself, because it's a mental exercise that's hard to get somewhere else, which is to put yourself really in someone else's head and someone else's shoes. and why that's so important. Absolutely. To build. There's a really good study about how like kids who read Harry Potter are more empathetic, which I like to tote around with me. I mean, I can listen, not surprising. Our audience is, you know, heavy on the nonfiction. And look, I love a nonfiction book. I'm a learner, but I wouldn't get right to my, like, I've already read 20 books this year. I would not have gotten there without fiction, because sometimes you get a little bogged down in nonfiction. Whereas when I read a fiction book, I'm like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Exactly. And I think a lot of those studies that talk about empathy talk about the importance of deep reading and really getting into a text. And I know that that happens in nonfiction, right? Because we underline and highlight. But when you're in fiction, you're really in that world. Yeah. And it gets back to that that quote from Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird about putting someone else's skin on and walking around in it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think literature and fiction help us do that.
No, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, I love reading nonfiction. And even when it's a book I really, really love, but I can still feel my brain, my social media addled brain being like, go check, go check, go check. But when I'm really in a fiction book, I'm like, everybody leave me alone. And when somebody, like, I'm not distracted. The only way I'm pulled out of it is if I'm interrupted, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You're kind of enmeshed in it. And I, interestingly, so my husband started a book club here at the bookshelf recently, and it's a group of guys. And I think many of them have been mostly nonfiction readers. And so they read a fiction book a couple of weeks ago, and my husband said it was one of the best conversations they had had. And
so awesome.
I personally think, yeah, I think that's because of fiction and because of the conversations it helps us have. I mean, nonfiction can do that too, but I know in the bookstore anyway, a lot of people, fiction makes hard topics accessible.
Yes.
And so you can talk about hard things with a little bit more ease if fiction is your entry point.
Right, right. Because there's just the stakes aren't as high. You're talking about a fake person.
Yeah.
So who cares?
Exactly. That's right. So, I think in the bookstore and especially in book clubs that meet here, I have seen fiction really open up conversations and open up doors that I know these people wouldn't normally have if it weren't for the fact that a book was guiding them through it.
So Beth calls me the resource Sherpa because I love recommending things, especially books. So your job is sort of my dream gig. I understand logically that owning a bookstore is not just about sitting around recommending books all day, but let's just pretend for a moment that it is, and you have some book recommendations for us.
Yes, I totally do. Because you're right that it is not the only part of my job, sadly. I do have to do things like pay bills and awful, awful taxes. But the good news is that a good portion of my job is hand-selling and trying to recommend books to people because Amazon can't do that.
No, so true. I never trust, even with the reviews and the things, I only read books like recommended by actual real life people I know.
Exactly. So yeah, I do have some recommendations, including, so the first one is one you have probably already seen all over the place. And it's the one that my husband's book club read, which is Exit West.
Ooh, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you have to read Exit West. It is a book about a couple who live in an undisclosed, like unidentified Middle Eastern country, and they find these doors that take them to other countries and other lands. So when they are in the middle of a crisis, they're able to find these doors. It's almost like got a Narnia element to it. But I heard the author interviewed on NPR, and he said the reason he wrote this book this way was he didn't want the book to be about the journey the refugees were taking. He wanted it to be about identifying home and what home looks like. So not so much the journey to get to a new home, but what home means to people. And so you watch this couple kind of go from the Middle East to Greece to London, I believe, and then to America. It is uniquely written, super short. I feel like the only kind of complaint I've heard about this book is that it's almost like a short story. And I think maybe even more of a novella, but it is fantastic. The book club felt like it was good, but then the discussion made it great.
Yeah, so I can see that.
Yeah.
Because I struggle so much, especially, you know, I just think that the experience of a refugee in particular, not just someone who is immigrated, but a refugee, is so unique and would be, it's one of those things like you really do have to put somebody else's skin on and think about what would I do if I had no citizenship, if I had no ability to, no process or no ability to protect myself or my children. There's really nobody looking out for me or sticking up for me except for like Angelina Jolie. And that is just, it's so incredible because as an American, we wear that so easily. And it's like the air we breathe. We're Americans. Even when I travel, I just always felt like, well, I'm an American. There's only so much, like they'll forget me. They'll protect me. And
if you
didn't have that, how incredibly disorienting and hard that would be.
Yeah. And the author is a Pakistani author, Mohsin Hamid. And I feel like he really writes so beautifully and so well about that plight and that struggle of identity and home. And I can't imagine, I mean, when I read books like this, so this book came out, I think maybe in February or March of this year, but you know then that it was written months ago, and the timeliness of this book is incredible. But he writes about that struggle of identity really well. And the two main characters, you can see they both tackle that struggle in different ways. And so that's interesting too.
Ooh, I want to read this. I'm definitely, especially if it's short. I particularly like good short books so that I can up my number for the year. I got to meet my Goodreads reading challenge. It's all about the number. You know?
What's your, I do want to know, how many books are you trying to read?
I'm trying to get to 40. So I'm going really good so far.
Oh, you are. You're way ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So and I've read a couple really long ones too. I don't know if you're a Gretchen Rubin fan, but I, at least when it comes to reading, am an obliger. I do much better with an outside, what's the word I want? Like, responsibility or like a deadline.
A goal.
Yeah. So I'm in a million book clubs. I have a book club in my town. Pantsu Politics has a book club. I have a close friend, two close friends from college who we have our own little book club. And then I also, I do Modern Mrs. Darcy's book club. So that's four book clubs. But like, and then every time somebody recommends a book, I try to get it from the library so I know there's a deadline. Like, I just do really well when I have to read it quickly. Like, you just, and also I also stopped watching television, so that helped.
you like some accountability. I am a huge Gretchen Rubin fan, and this year my goal is 100. Mm. I've never read 100 books.
I'm doing that. Now I'm doing it. I can't stand it. That's going to be my goal next year. I'm so excited.
and I'm doing it, and I'm on track. But I don't know if I'll do it again just because the sheer quantity and like, I really like time to process. And when you're reading 100 books in a year, you're kind of like, okay, next.
Yeah.
So we'll see if I do it again, but I think I'm on track to finish that this year. And
do you have guidelines? Like, do like young adult count? Like I'm in a mother son book club with my 7-year-old. And so I roll through those pretty quick. You know, like we get through those. That's just that's an easy win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I count those. Like I read my first ever comic book on the recommendation of a bookshelf staffer, and I counted that because I was like, yeah, that's outside my genre. I'll take it.
Heck yeah. Oh, and I just love 100. That's just such a pretty round number. I dig it so much.
Right?
Oh, I like that. I'm stealing that. Okay. What's the next book you have recommended for us?
Okay. I hope this is one you've heard of too, but it's called This Is How It Always Is.
Oh, heck yeah. That was a Modern Mrs. Darcy pick a few months ago.
Yeah. So it's by Lori Frankel. I do not listen to a ton of audiobooks for whatever reason. My brain just processes visually a little bit better, but I did listen to this one and the narration was phenomenal. I love this book because I love dysfunctional family stories, but what makes this a book that kind of helps us, I think, have some empathy and nuance is because it's all about Claude, who's 5 years old. He's the youngest of 5 brothers, but he also loves wearing dresses. And when he grows up, he always tells his mom he wants to be a girl. And so the book kind of follows this path of not only Claude, but also specifically the mother. I think this would make a great, I'm going to be recommending this one for Mother's Day. It's just a great mother-son story, but all about the family and how they react and how they cope. And I had not ever read a book like this or about this perspective, and I am so, so glad that I did.
I loved this book. I thought, I really want to go read more of her work. I found her writing so great and well done, especially sort of the, like that you said, the dysfunctional family and the chemistry of marriage and birth order and how those all mix together in a family. And, you know, for such a highly contentious political issue, she did such a good job. I really found that her little personal essay at the end of the book, one of the most touching parts. I think it was so good. And I think too, I think what she did with that fiction book is something you know, she did it in a different way, but it was still personal because she also has a transgender child, which is, you know, I think transgendered issues are being diffused in a way that sexuality issues never were, because so often we're talking about kids. And like, I'm not saying people aren't capable of being real jerks about it, even when they're kids, but it does seem to diffuse a lot of the strong emotion, because people are just not going to get in an 8-year-old's face and be like, you're an abomination. Again, some people will, but most people won't.
Well, and I think, like, when I look around at my customer base, I'm not sure how they would feel about this issue politically. But when you're reading about a child and the trauma and the pain and the difficulty that this family is going through, you can't help but be empathetic and be a little bit heartbroken at the confusion and try to wrap your brain around the issue in a way you wouldn't have otherwise.
Right. And I loved it, too, that I thought what she did so well is it's not just that you... You know, I think a lot of us, when it comes to being, when we tackle an issue of an identity, like being transgendered, and we think automatically of like, what would that be like? But I thought what she did so well, which makes sense because it's her own personal journey, is writing about the parents. And I think in my mind, I was just like, well, they all take the same approach, and there's this standard advice, and sort of the back and forth and the struggle and debate within the family that they go through about how to react and how to treat this. I thought that was so good. And just acknowledging, like, there is no right answer. We don't know the right answer. Like, I just thought that was so, so good.
Yeah.
We loved it. Loved it. Lots of nuance in that book, for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you read it.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, I cannot believe how young you look. And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
You know how you learn to really appreciate how good your products are? Leave town and get stuck with whatever shampoo is in the hotel. I take Pros and their custom hair products for granted, y'all. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. I never found beauty products that really understood my needs. But ever since I switched to custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I've noticed so many benefits. My thin hair is moisturized but not weighed down, and my waves have never looked better. And Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pantsuit. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pantsuit. That's PROSE.com/pantsuit.
In previous episodes, I have outed myself as a bed-making fanatic. I am very serious about my bed being an oasis, a gift to Chad and me as we crawl into it at the end of a long day. So I want to return to how much I love my Boll & Branch sheets.
With Boll & Branch sheets, you can discover a new level of softness. The sheets are made from 100% organic cotton in a buttery, breathable weave that truly gets softer every time you wash them. And you know that I like to do that once a week, so my Boll & Branch are rapidly aging like a fine wine. The sheets look great. I have them in a beautiful slate color. They stay put, so making my bed is quick and easy. They are a bestseller for a reason. The signature sheets feel incredible on night one. They are loved by millions of sleepers, and they come with a 30-night worry-free guarantee. Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code PANTSUIT at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code PANTSUIT. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so what else you got for us?
Okay, so this one, it just came out in paperback. It was out in hardback last year. Got a lot of praise. Homegoing.
Oh, I loved it. I read that one, too.
Yay! Oh, so glad. So Homegoing to me, and I'll go ahead and pair it with another one. Not completely similar, but the themes, I think, are similar. Did you read Americana?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So Americana is by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
And good job on that name. Woo!
Oh, thanks. I YouTube that.
Yeah, I've had to practice it a lot of times because I love her so much. And I talk about it all the time and I'm like, I've got to learn how to pronounce her name.
Yeah, I watched a couple of YouTube clips. And then Homegoing by Yag Yassi, I think, is how you pronounce her name. Anyway, I just know my book club read Homegoing together. And the conversation that we had was so powerful. And I mean, there were women in my book club who did not make it through the whole book because it is intense mm-hmm. in parts. And if you're a highly sensitive reader, there are parts of Homegoing that might be difficult for you. But Homegoing and Americana to me tackle a lot of the same issues about immigration and coming from one country to another. Homegoing just does it in a more kind of historical way. You kind of get to watch.
I don't think we spoiled anything by sort of telling how the book is set up.
Yeah, so the book is set up about these two women who are part of the same family. And is it Ghana?
Uh-huh. No, I'm sorry. And then, it's the Ivory Coast.
Okay, so these two women on the Ivory Coast, and we get to watch both of their generations through the slave trade and the impact of the slave trade. One of the generations stays on the Ivory Coast, and the other immigrates slowly toward America. Mm-hmm. And so we get to kind of follow American history. What I liked, too, was that she pulled out, when she gets to the portion about kind of the civil rights movement or the 1960s, she didn't talk about the things that we kind of always talk about.
Yeah.
Instead, she talked about, there were some, you know, references to chain gangs, but it was also about living in Birmingham, Alabama, where the coal plant was. Like, you just kind of got a different maybe take than another book that might talk to you or introduce you to Martin Luther King Jr. or the riots or things like that. I feel like she really tackled different parts of American history that I was not as familiar with.
Right. I think she does such a good job. And I mean, I don't think this is a spoiler, but the one who comes to America is brought here during the slave trade. And then sort of, I thought what she did such a good job of on both sides is showing the impact of that, of slavery, both still on the Ivory Coast and what happens to the communities affected by the slave trade and left behind. And
yeah.
Sort of the decisions that were made. And then the family, it's not like she's just like, slavery is awful, the end. Like she talks with the story of this enslaved person and sort of how that plays out across generation and the impact and how that trauma builds and is really never forgotten. I just thought, oh, it's such a great book.
Yeah, it's those consequences mm-hmm. that, again, maybe we don't really talk about fully, or we don't understand that some of what's happening in culture right now is an effect of slavery, even though that might be foreign to you or to me. I thought the way she handled the subject matter, I mean, first of all, she just writes beautifully.
Yeah.
And then the story is so compelling, and how you get to watch these generations whose slavery hasn't existed for them in decades, in years, and yet they're really still facing the repercussions of that, mm-hmm. in both America and on the Ivory Coast. So, I loved that book.
Our listeners know this, but I recently went for a visit to the Whitney Plantation, which is outside New Orleans, and is a plantation that it's not a let's all go pretend we're in Gone with the Wind plantation at all. It is a plantation that really seeks to tell the story of the enslaved populations, and Homegoing was a book they had all over their bookstore that was they recommended because they prioritize so much that the slave narrative. And they're like very careful about saying, like, we don't know what this was like. We only have certain slave stories taken after the Civil War. So most of these people were children. And so we're dependent on either their recollections or stories they've heard and told, or stories recorded from runaway slaves or people who escaped slavery. And so it was just, it's a really fantastic book. I think there has been such great things happening in fiction with that book and with the Underground Railroad that seeks to really expand. I'm not saying every book, but for so long, I feel like slave narratives were so one-dimensional, or not slave narratives themselves, but fictional narratives, I guess is what I should say. Mm-hmm. Not the stories of the actual people, but like the stories we told in our culture about slavery for so long were one-dimensional and, really, let's be honest, written to make white people feel better. It's this, the complexity of the reality of enslaved populations and the impact of that on everything in our culture, I think is finally starting to come out, which I think is really great. In fact, I will ask you this, and our listeners, I don't know if I've ever asked this on the air. I would really like to read a book, fiction or nonfiction, preferably nonfiction, in Kentucky in particular, there wasn't a lot of huge slave plantations, but there was, you know, the people in my family, my ancestors, several of them unfortunately owned slaves, but they were like very small numbers. And I have to believe that was a very different experience. I am not saying that was a better experience. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I just am so curious. I haven't ever read any historical sort of tellings about the smaller numbers and what the interactions between people must have been like, because I have to believe they would have been different than an overseer being in charge of, like, you know, 50 individuals. So if you ever stumble across that in your bookstore or other places, please let me know. I've been seeking that out.
Okay. I'm writing a note right now. I have to say too, so I am in the deep. I do feel like the deep South. I grew up, in Tallahassee, Florida, which isn't far from here, but that was a very different experience than South Georgia, where we live now and own the bookstore. And the reaction to some of these books has been really interesting. And I'm so glad to hear that the Whitney Plantation is not trying to bury its history, and instead is being honest. And I think it's pretty incredible that they want to kind of tell the truth about what happened there, because I don't think that always happens. And even with a book like The Underground Railroad, which I adored, and we have sold dozens of copies here at the bookshelf, but I did have some customers who wouldn't read it, said it wasn't historically accurate, like forgetting that it's fiction and that maybe misunderstanding that, it's okay for him to have imagined the Underground Railroad as literal because it's fiction.
Well, and I think the fantastical imagining of history like that can open up. It's almost like it just sort of, speaking of reading fiction, like it just sort of like loosens you enough that you're not comparing it the whole time, right? It just gives you a little
space.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah, you just can be like, okay, I don't have to, you know. It's like my friend who always says you should see the movie before the book, so you can just enjoy the movie and not be comparing it to the book the whole time. It's like when you take something so historically high stakes and add that fantastical element, so you can just let go that this is not supposed to be a history book, but it allows that empathy and that imagining in a different way than, say, a nonfiction book.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have any more recommendations for us?
We're finally at my favorite time of year. Spring is here. Summer is just around the corner. We're getting our summer essentials ready. Our sunscreen, our emotional support water bottles, our steamy beach reads. But maybe you would prefer your steamy earbuds. This year, there is a new kind of essential right at your fingertips. Enemies to love, chance encounters, a slow burn, friends that become more. Whatever your favorite romantic trope, Dipsy has a spicy audio story just for you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short and spicy audio stories that bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. You can discover stories about second chance romances and adventurous vacation flings. That's my favorite. Hot and heavy hookups. It can be as heavy or as light as you want it to be. This is what I love about Dipsy. It is a modern approach to romance through high quality, captivating audio fiction that you can listen to in the privacy of your own headphones. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/pantsuit. That's dipsystories.com/pantsuit. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Okay, so I've got one more, and this one is a little less literary and more commercial fiction. But I, again, listened to this one. It's Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult. Have you heard?
I've heard about it. And I think, you know, what are some other books she's read? I can't remember if I've ever read anything by her. I think I have, but I'm not sure.
So she writes, it feels like a book a year or a book every couple years.
And she does sort of like a rip from the headline kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So My Sister's Keeper was like a movie. So that one was really popular. Trying to think what some of her other, I have only read one other one of hers. Leaving Time was one. The Tenth Circle, The Pact. My Sister Keeper, to me, that was the only other one of hers I have read. But generally, a lot of readers, especially book club readers, really love her. Mm-hmm. I would never have picked this book up. It's her most recent novel. I would never have picked it up were it not for I am in a book club of knitters. So we listen to audiobooks while we knit.
I love that. Oh my God, I have to start that in Paducah. That is a genius idea.
It's fantastic. So my friend runs a yarn shop here in town, and we were looking for ways to collaborate because a lot of readers are also knitters. So anyway, we now knit once a month and listen to a new audiobook. So we listened to Small Great Things, which in Jodi Picoult fashion is a story that she kind of ripped from the headlines about an African-American nurse who was taking care of a baby, and it wound up being a white supremacist baby, and they requested that she be taken off the case, that she not be their nurse anymore. And then something awful happens. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the baby dies kind of on her watch. What proceeds, and I don't think that is the true story. That's just where Jodi Picoult took it. But then the book kind of follows a little bit of courtroom drama, which I thought was compelling, but the voices, she tells them in three different voices. So one is the voice of the nurse, the voice of the defense attorney, and then the voice of the white supremacist. And I mean, listening to it, Audra McDonald is the voice of the nurse. So
ooh,
that narration was
sold,
fantastic.
Sold.
Right, right. So that her narration was awesome. But it was the startling voice and the really awful voice of the white supremacist that to me was the most powerful, because to listen to it especially was just, I mean, kind of gave me goosebumps in not a good way, like in a terrifying way, to just get kind of a bird's eye view of that mentality. And I think critics were kind of half and half on this book, but what I loved was that Roxane Gay wrote a review of it in the New York Times. So, and I thought it was really a great review. So anyway, Small Great Things, I think it made a very compelling book club book for our group. And it's a really good audio book too.
Oh, I'm doing that. Audra McDonald, sold. I don't even tell me anything else. Well, Annie, thank you so much. These recommendations have been fantastic. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's the perfect mix of I love talking about books I've read and I love getting book recommendations. So it worked out perfect for me selfishly. But I think our listeners are going to really love it as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I love any chance I get to kind of evangelize about good books.
Then make sure and check out my stint on Annie's podcast. We will put the link in the show notes and share it. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. I hope everyone enjoyed my chat with Annie. We will be back on Tuesday while Beth is overseas with another interview. Until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We're still wrapping up our membership drive. So if you haven't become a supporter of Pantsuit Politics, we're a little short of our goal and we would love your support. You can click become a supporter on our website or go to patreon.com/pantsuitpolitics. Thank you to my husband, our producer, Nicholas Holland, and our new executive producer, Tracy. So thank you so much for joining us on the Q&A to all our patrons who joined and asked questions, and anybody who is already a supporter can go and check it out now. And until next week, keep it nuanced, y'all.